All right, good morning, everyone. I will call the meeting to order, and our first order of business is the approval of the minutes from the January 17 meeting. They were distributed with the agenda. I'll make a motion to approve.
This is Doug. I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion regarding the minutes? Then, all in favor, say aye for approval. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
Okay. Then next up are loans for this month. We have just two of them.
They've been approved for public purpose, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And then I'll make a motion to approve.
This is Doug. I'll second the motion.
Okay.
Before we vote, I do have a question.
Good. Fine.
I need to scroll down here on the computer just a moment.
Okay.
Takes me a minute to get to where I want to be. Let's see. Here we are, loans. Okay. Just out of curiosity, the Kenosha County, what is DITID?
It's a economic development loan, Doug. It stands for Tax Incremental District.
Does this $1 million have anything to do with that big new company coming into the area?
Doug, it's in regards to a business park that the Village of Summers is creating. It's in the area of the Foxconn, but it's not directly attributable to that.
All righty, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion regarding the loans? Then I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'll vote no.
Okay. Then we have no old business, but we have some new business items this month. We have some legislation that is proposed or working its way through the process that could have some impact on what we do. And so we've got on AB 857 and SB 713 are on, and we were given copies of those. I can never remember from the bill number. But this is just a discussion item and potentially a vote. So let's have some discussion first about what it is that we're looking at, and then we'll see if there's any, if there's a motion later on, we'll address a vote.
Do you want me to do that?
Huh? Yeah, Jonathan, could you kick it off, please?
I'll just lead it off. I think Tom would probably have more on it. The bill that we're considering taking a position on is Senate Bill 713, which has four main thrusts. One, it would eliminate the state trust fund loan program, which is a current investment option for BCPL. Two, it would expand BCPL's ability to delegate investment authority to SWIB. Right now, we have the ability to do that, but we are required to, SWIB is required to only invest in fixed income instruments. Three, remove public school libraries as named beneficiaries of the Common School Fund. And four, direct that Common School Fund earnings be distributed along with general education aid. So that's the thrust of the bill. I went to the hearing, and I provided you my testimony. At that point, all I could do was testify for information only, which is what I did. Pretty much. There were a lot of registrants, and I'm sure Matt will speak to that. The packet that we gave you, the link, includes the two primary authors, Senator Strobel and Representative Hutton, whose testimony is in that packet, number one and number two, in that packet, so you've probably seen that. That's about all I can say at this juncture. I think there's going to be more debate, and I probably am not a debater in this discussion.
There's an awful lot of groups registered against this. Did anybody come in favor of it?
There were three people in favor of it, Representative Hutton, Senator Strobel, and Board Commissioner Adamczyk.
Well, this is Matt. I mean, I can speak to it a little bit here. I mean, we can discuss it. I don't know if we need to have a vote. My understanding, I mean, obviously it's a legislative issue, but I don't think this bill is passing this session. I don't know if it. I haven't heard that they're wrapping things up here in this next month, pretty much. My understanding is the assembly is going to kick, not have much more time past this month, and the Senate maybe a little bit into the next month. But this is a big bill. Obviously, there's a lot going on here. So that being said, I mean, obviously, I support the concept here. I know I did talk to one of the Senate leads, Senator Strobel's office, and they have an amendment that's out that they haven't necessarily put out, but they basically gave me the parameters to what Jonathan mentioned. To kind of, from the hearing, I think to kind of, you know, hear from the stakeholders, obviously some of the people that testified opposed to it were like the librarians, you know, and there was local little actual librarians that came up in opposition because they, you know, want to make sure they have a dedicated stream of money. And I think the amendment that Senator Strobel's office, as well as Representative Hutter, I think are going to put out would be to keep them whole, just allow it all to go to them as it has now. So I think that kind of worked for that group. I don't know if that'll change your position on it, but it allows it just to stay with the libraries as it does now. So,
okay, this is Doug. I think we all are aware of the issue and who appeared, so we don't need to go on about that. I have a question though: are we going to deal with this bill separately, or are we going to deal with AB 857 and this bill at the same time?
No, Doug, there are separate items on the agenda here. So we're just dealing with this bill now. Are you speaking to the Senate, the Assembly Companion?
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. So we'll deal with 713 first, and then we'll go back to the other one.
Well, they're both the same. AB 887 and SB 713 are the identical bill.
Well, I understand that. Okay, sounds good.
So you really only have to deal with one or the other.
Yeah, I think to Doug's point, for number four on our agenda, they're the same bill, they're just different numbered. But I think the crux of what, to kind of summarize, you know, Representative Hutt and Senator Strobel's thoughts were, I mean, obviously we know what the State of Wisconsin Investment Board is, SWIB, and everybody knows them, all of our money's over there. And, you know, if you look at, I mean, the difference is there's ups and downs, obviously, over there, because they're at least half in the equities in the stock market for the core fund. But, you know, if you just do a simple crunch, you know, our fund is about $1.90 million, so just a little under $1.1 billion. And last year, the core fund made 16%, so that would have been $176 million. Now, I'm assuming we're going to give out around $35 million. And the point of what was made in the testimony, as well as what's not like a concern of somebody like Jonathan, was obviously there's down year. So last year was a good year, but there will be years of down. So if we did make, in theory, we're in the SWIB, again, this is hypothetical, last year, and they had made $176 million, which is, you know, a ton of money. I mean, that's 5 years if you divide that by $35 million. So it'd be not much different than what Jonathan and them are talking about now with the smoothing fund, whereas you would have money for bad years because under the same parameters that you guys accepted as the investment portfolio, we could lose money, and therefore you'd have to have money in a smoothing fund because of our limitation on touching into principal. So.
Okay. Again, we've heard all this before about SWIB and the decisions. But before I say more, Attorney General, I haven't heard you speak. Do you want to say something before I go on?
Yeah, I have a couple issues. You know, one is the comparisons to SWIB and I saw a Legislative Fiscal Bureau report on this bill that said if SWIB had the same limitations that we've had in how we can, what we can do with the money, SWIB wouldn't have made more than us. That it would have been, am I correct in my recollection of what that report concluded?
Why don't you answer that, Tom?
At the end of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau report, they said if SWIB was bound by the same constitutional limitation, it's unlikely that they would have earned more because, in essence, they would have taken on the same amount of risk and invested it virtually the same way.
There's a way to do that was contemplated in the bill that was to take it away from the librarians and have it enter the general school aid fund, in which case it wouldn't matter if 1 year you didn't make any money because you wouldn't send any money to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in a good year, you probably would send more money. The problem with that is every other state that's done that with their commissions like us, it ends up that the legislature in a good year says, well, that's a write-off, meaning we'll just offset the amount that's coming in and we won't have to spend our money elsewhere. So it basically it only works if you eliminate a targeted beneficiary, and then it only works if you have good years. So,
can I ask a question of Jonathan?
Sure.
And kind of to what you just said there, then this is kind of the crux of one of the questions I have. I guess from a strictly investment standpoint, I mean, to get the maximum earning potential, wouldn't we possibly as a board or at some point down the road, not today, but want to be limited? Wouldn't we not want to be limited to the stable earnings, like you said, to the library fund? Because if all of our earnings are a dedicated stream, it kind of requires us to have a fixed income, correct? And it kind of limits your investment pool more or less, no?
Well, right now we're required to distribute all of our earnings, and we're prohibited from reaching into principal. That's the constitutional constraint that is driving this whole thing and makes it really virtually impossible for us to do, for SWIB to do any better than us, unless they're willing to have years that they make no payout at all.
Well, isn't that what we're doing with the smoothing fund, though, too, holding money back?
Yeah, but if we had had our money entirely at SWIB, in the Fiscal Bureau memo shows we would have lost 5 to 8 years' worth of earnings in 1 year, 2007.
Yeah, but I know, and that's the whole point of that smoothing fund. We've talked about this when we met in person. I mean, it's a limitation when all of our money goes to, because if you look at the $35 million we give to the libraries, it's a drop in the bucket of the $5.3 billion we give out to schools total. So to your point, what you just said before this, Jonathan, was it would be different if we didn't have to give a set amount, because then there would be years you give zero. So like if SWIB made last year 16%, it's $160 million, and the next year we make nothing, let's say, they make 0%, that's still an average of $80 million.
So it's off to a good start this year, about
9%. We're repeating ourselves again. Mr. Attorney General, you had another question?
Well, I have a follow-up comment to my question regarding the potential that SWIB wouldn't make more than us. Then there's also the other aspect of our loan program is that it is good for municipalities. I believe that's why they've weighed in against this, that so many, that the organizations we provide loans to have come in, and it's not just about the interest rate, it's about the ease with which they can borrow money, the ability they have to pay it off early, to get out of the obligation, to refinance and other things. We provide a lot of options that are good for the communities in our state, and I think that's reflected in who's voted, who's come in against, opposed to this. The concern I have is normally I kind of like to stay out of the legislative lane. And they let them debate their stuff, and I don't often favor us getting involved when they're considering legislation, but the problem I have here is that we get portrayed as not opposed to this, and then that gets turned into, we think this is a good idea. I don't think this is a good idea, and I'm concerned that if we don't take a position, we're going to be characterized as thinking this is a good idea.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Well, you guys can be ready to vote whatever you want. I mean, obviously, I'm in favor. You guys are probably opposed to it. I mean, the only thing I'd say to the point that the AG just mentioned in regards to the locals, I mean, obviously, they're opposed to it because they have access to cash, and to your point, they don't have to pay back. There's no prepayment penalties, which are all the reasons that they like it, and I don't disagree that those are reasons that they like it. My only point is, as a trustee of this fund, I don't see myself as having any kind of obligation to the local municipalities, because we are here to protect our beneficiaries, which are the K-12 public schools. And I know they do like it, but that is not my role, and I don't see my role that way. I mean,
it would be equal. If we moved this over to SWIB, it's the same amount of money for our beneficiaries, so at the same time, we can do good things for municipalities. That's fulfilling our obligation to the trust and to our beneficiaries while doing a good thing. If they're both equal, why not also do the good thing?
Well, there's a match, just real quick, and then I'll let Doug talk there. To that point, I think that's a huge assumption that they're equal. I mean, obviously we know that SWIB, sorry, sir. Could I just finish and then I'll let you talk? Or
Doug, can you hang tight for a second? Matt was finishing a point.
If they say that there's a limitation because we have to give our money out that way, that is a valid argument. My only point is, and I know when we met in person on, I mean, I think I asked in the meeting, I asked Jonathan the question, who in 20 years will do a better job overall percentage? And I think it's pretty obvious, SWIB, because they're in a higher investment pool of equities, they're going to have a higher rate. That's my only point. I mean, there will be down years. Nobody's wrong in saying that. There obviously will. We might be in for a heck of a down year. This is the stock market's been on a roar, I mean, since 2009. So my only point is they will make a higher percentage of us even with the loan. So
I've heard that point three times now. Can I have my say pretty soon?
Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I've looked at this legislation some time ago, and I looked at it again recently, and I've heard people talk about it just now. I think the Attorney General made a very good point, and I've been on this board for a long, long time, so I can amplify that by saying over the years I've heard from municipalities and, of course, schools as well about the point that the Attorney General just made, namely the interest rate is not as important to them in many cases as the lack of red tape and bureaucracy of being able to get a loan sometimes quickly if they have a need. And that's happened. I can remember in cases where they needed to get a new roof for a school or a new furnace or something. But anyway, I don't want to belabor that point. But my bottom line here is I think these pieces of legislation are a disaster. They basically destroy, and I want this on the record, they would destroy the school loan fund program, which has operated for over 100 and some years, very effectively, very fiscally responsibly, and very helpful to hundreds and hundreds of schools and municipalities over the years. And whether we can make an extra small amount of money here or there by different things is not the point. So having saying that, I would like to make a motion. I move that this board take a position opposing this legislation and authorize our staff to communicate that position to the public and to the legislature.
I'll second the motion, and by way of discussion, we don't have a vote in the legislature, but I would not want our commission to be characterized as acquiescing, as thinking that this is harmless. I think we ought to take a position.
Mr. Attorney General, that's exactly how I feel and why I made the motion.
Okay. Any other discussion regarding this? All right. Then all in favor of the motion, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'll vote aye for sure. And then I just had one question. If Jonathan then sends a letter out, I wouldn't mind if he just mentioned the vote was 2-1. I mean, obviously the board is spoken, but I don't support it.
Did you vote aye or nay?
No, I don't. Maybe. What did I say? No was my answer.
You said aye.
Oh, sorry. No, it's definitely no. I misspoke there.
A couple of us fell off our chairs.
Oh, sorry. That was my bad. So you two voted aye. I voted no. Sorry. I meant that. Say no.
All right.
That was a mistake on my part. My bad.
Okay.
No problem. I got to get off the floor.
Yeah. So number five, another bill, and this, as I understand, the part that we're addressing is a very, very narrow part of a much larger bill.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The bill enjoys, I think, some broad support. But it has a provision, and it's a tort reform bill, and it has a provision within it that's sort of an outlier that doesn't really address the guts of the bill, but rather prohibits the Department of Revenue from doing any third-party contingency audits. Again, I provided my testimony. It's in that packet. I testified for information that this was a concern because it would reduce the amount of money that could be reclaimed to be returned to the rightful property owner. And then when that's not found, reduce the amount of money to the common school fund. The Department of Revenue also registered their concerns for that section and asked that it either be amended or dropped. An amendment was circulated. I was hopeful for it, but neither the Department of Revenue nor we think it's useful because it would have effectively prohibited all third-party audits, even if they were for any company that's domiciled here, would not be able to be audited. The problem is they will be audited under the State Compact and Uniform Property Act, but we wouldn't, as Wisconsin, get any of that money. And so even the authors of that amendment backed off on it. Now I don't know where it stands. I would like a limited authority, if the board so chose, to just register our concern for Section 3, but not oppose the bill.
Yeah, well, this is Doug. I've looked at this and thought about it a good deal, and I would let me make a motion that we can then discuss. Because this is complicated in the sense that it's part of a bigger package, and my experience as a senator and watching things, that always complicates things, because if there are several things people favor and one thing that's a problem, it can get messy because many legislators don't pay attention. So I make the motion that we oppose this section 3, I guess it is, and that we again authorize our staff to communicate that to the public if appropriate, but more importantly, to the legislature so they understand the importance of this one particular section.
For purpose of having a discussion, I'll second the motion, and then we can discuss further whether we would take that position. Jonathan, were you hoping for an opposition or more of an authorization to register concerns?
The latter, okay. Brad. There's so many people invested in the bill itself that I don't want to be having the board taking. Viewed as being opposed to this large piece of legislation that, frankly, I don't fully understand, but I surely understand Section 3, and it doesn't belong in this bill. So I'd like to be able to register our concern along with the Department of Revenue. I suppose it's possible they could come up with some amendment, but I haven't seen one yet that hit the mark.
This is Doug. Let me. I'm confused. What's the difference, given the nature of this Section 3, which is very problematic, we all agree on that. What's the difference between showing concern and being opposed to it? I think we should make it clear, and why I made the motion, Mr. Attorney General, particularly addressing your point, that we should be opposed to Section 3, not just showing our concern.
Well,
thank you.
I understand what you're saying. I think you're probably right, Doug. I guess I'm just wasn't thinking I would have to weigh in so heavily, but you're probably right, because we definitely need the ability to say that this section is problematic. It would reduce the return of funds to the rightful owners, and it would reduce the rebalance remitted to the common school fund.
This is Matt. My position isn't a lot different from number four. I don't really want to be lobbying either way. I'll talk to the individual authors individually. I mean, obviously, we want as much money going back to unclaimed property as possible, but I'm not going to take a vote either in favor of lobbying on this. I think the concerns have been shared. I saw a testimony center Jonathan sent, and I'll definitely talk to the individual authors myself, but you guys can vote if you'd like.
Jonathan, would you have more to say than what you've already said in your prior testimony you submitted?
Well, in my prior testimony, I sort of had to dance around the eye of the needle and not actually come down hard against it because I didn't have any guidance from this board. I really feel that it would be unfortunate if this provision were adopted, and more particularly, I think it's unfortunate if it were part of this larger bill that has a lot of merit for a lot of people, if we're going to violate, or not violate, if we're going to break our compact, if you will, of the Uniform Unclaimed Property Act and be the only state to do that, it seems that it ought to be done in a separate bill with full discussion. Maybe Tom can elaborate on that.
Oh, that's a good way of describing it, Jonathan. The fact is, it sounds like the discussion today is about we're opposed to it as drafted. And so if we're opposed, we're opposed.
Right. That's correct. And I think we should allow the staff, Jonathan or Tom or both, to approach the legislature saying that we are opposed to that and the impact it would have, which is why I made the motion.
And I'm going to be meeting, Tom and I are going to be meeting with Senator Weingard tomorrow, and he's the chair of the committee that's hearing this, so I'd like to have some guidance from this board.
Okay, well then Mr. Attorney General.
Matt, you talk a lot about our duty of loyalty to our trustees and to our beneficiaries. I mean, on this thing, if this passes either the way it's originally proposed or as amended, it's going to leave a lot of money on the table that doesn't go to the trust fund.
I don't really have a problem with you guys making an opinion either way. It's just not something that I've invested. That I really at this point want to weigh in on. I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't bother me.
So let's vote.
So like I probably wouldn't vote against it. I just maybe abstain from voting.
You can abstain if you want. How's that?
Okay. All right. We'll show that the treasurer is voting present. All right. I'll call for the vote.
Well, this is Doug. I vote yes.
Okay. On the narrow issue of registering opposition to this one segment of the bill, I will. I'll vote aye.
And the treasurer.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
He's voting present.
Well, I'm present.
Excuse me, Vicki, could the minutes reflect that it's the narrow issue of Section 3?
Yeah.
And let me see that, because Brad's absolutely right. We want to.
Right.
We don't want to paint a broad brush.
Yes, I will make sure that's clear in the transcription.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Okay. Any future agenda items to discuss today? All right. Is there an executive secretary's report?
Yeah, and I'm going to have Matt or Tom weigh in on this. We entered the equity market in a very light fashion in the last 10 days. Immediately saw the market drop a bit, but then entered the market on the following week, and the market was going up a little bit. So we've issued a report here, and you can read it. The vehicles we're using are ETFs with a very low cost of management of 0.13%. So in other words, for $1 million investment, our annual cost is $1,300. We met three times in the last 2 months with SWIB leadership, and they also agreed with this as a strategy, because you can wait for timing the market, or you can enter in a big way, and either course is fraught with limitations or even danger. But entering the market over time in a slow, measured fashion, with this kind of a low volatility equity, is a good approach. These are all income-generating ETFs. They themselves will generate about, right now, on purchase, 2.7% return in terms of dividends alone. So this sector, again, was carefully chosen, and again with consultation, because this sector has not kept up with the performance of the market, because it's not very flashy. It's not based on capital gain appreciation so much as based on appreciation due to continued growth of dividends. We think with the Tax Reform Act and this coming year that companies that are generating dividends such as these will continue to do so, and probably for the next 2 or 3 or 4 years. So we feel this is a very prudent, low risk, but not without risk strategy. The only way you gain more money in the markets is to assume more risk. That's sort of the given. So we will be reporting these kind of acquisitions just as we do bonds, and along with the request, because we will provide a statement on every board meeting as to our position. Did I miss anything, Tom, or
no? Nice job.
So, well, the equity that's on this report, the about $1 million that you put on it, is that all you bought so far, or have you bought more?
We bought another, what, just today?
We didn't buy any today.
Last week.
The first acquisition is on this report and was for $1 million, and then the following Monday we also bought $1 million. We're going to take into consideration market conditions with future acquisitions, but the plan is to maintain a very slow pace of entry, which we believe is prudent because it gives us some exposure to the market, which may continue to improve, but it also leaves us with considerable funds available to take advantage of any future corrections.
Let me add one thing. We're not buying these to sell, particularly. We're buying them for current income and long-term appreciation. And if the market fell precipitously, we wouldn't be selling anything.
Right.
We would be holding it because these companies, as reflected in these ETFs, are a strong record of dividend returns and growth. So our funds, Matt asked me this before today, and we did an evaluation. Since the first of the year, our overall fund has dropped a little bit, just about 0.5%. So you can see that we're not very volatile. The amount of money in equities right now is, what, 0.02% of our fund?
That's about right.
And so obviously we're 50% in bonds. It's not commonly known, but bonds are darn volatile as well, or can be. But I think our bond portfolio is such that we're not seeing as much volatility at this point. Lastly, we have 60% of the smoothing fund filled on the common school fund now, and 100% on the university fund. So we've got a cushion. But again, you don't need a cushion unless you're going to sell something. The one thing we want to avoid as a fund is getting in a position where we must sell something to meet, like, loan obligations or what have you. It's one of the reasons why we continually are slowly raising interest rates on our common school fund. We raised it once, as you know, and we're now evaluating whether we may need to raise it again in the coming week or two. We'll know when we look at this market a little bit more closely.
Okay, this is Doug. My comment is, okay, this sounds like a prudent approach. I particularly like the fact that you are purchasing equities that pay interest. I had some experience with that myself a few years ago, and no matter what the market does, those dividends keep coming in every 3 months. And that worked very well for my brother, who I was helping on the project. I also want to comment that we don't want to forget about our bond purchases. The purchase we just made, I see what it is paying, like 4% interest, or maturity, what, 3.6. That's pretty good. So I don't want us to neglect our bond portfolio acquisition project, which has been so successful. Thank you all for this.
Doug, at the risk of talking too much, I want to add one more thing. We are constrained by the asset allocation model and the investment plan that this board adopted. The board can revisit that at any time and evaluate it against our performance, and I think you should. So we're quarterly going to give a more detailed report. We'll probably we'll try and have an available picture or snapshot at any given meeting. So the
and even under that, our asset allocation model would limit us to 15% in equities. And we wouldn't want really to go above that much unless it was through appreciation, because we need the current income for our beneficiaries. And lastly, if interest rates do go up, we may lose some value in these bonds, but we won't lose any money because we won't sell them. And to the extent that we have cash, we'll be buying bonds that will yield more. So we expect our income to go up this year, all things being equal.
Yeah. And this is just Matt. I mean, obviously, you mentioned the investment policy. Obviously, I didn't support it, but I guess I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'd like for you, when you put out these transaction reports, to give us the updated numbers of not just what you bought, what the values are, because,
right.
I mean, obviously, you know, you got in the market and it was extremely high last week. It's the highest it's ever been. So, I mean, maybe it's going to go up more, maybe it's going to go down. None of us know. So,
that's exactly right. The reason I have an updated valuation is because there's so few in our portfolio that we really didn't make much sense. As we have a portfolio, it will make more sense, like with the bonds, to give you an updated report on a regular basis.
Well, just put even what we hold at that, you know,
right.
these things. Because, like, the Vanguard Total Stock Market Fund would be, if the market was crashed like it was in 08, that's what I would have said we would have bought a lot of. But we're still dealing with a very high market right now, so. I don't know. At some point, maybe we could consider trying to get some people to come in so at least the commissioners could be given some counsel on this stuff, because, you know, Doug, Brad, and I haven't, I don't think, other than you guys, we haven't really heard any, you guys met with her, but we haven't, so.
Okay. My ear's getting tired of holding the phone against it. How are we doing here?
All right, we've got one more item. That is a report on some agency expenses over $5,000 that I had approved. These dealt with the due diligence we had to engage in for the potential of us getting into the venture fund world. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes. The board adopted a policy that any expenditure over $5,000 would need to be approved by the board chair and then disclosed to the board. So we
how much was it?
$15,000.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. It's an unavoidable thing. If we're going to go into the venture fund thing, we have that responsibility to do our due diligence, and we have. And as I understand, there have been no concerns raised about the discussions we had, the ideas we were looking at.
Nope, the report came back clean.
Yeah, this is something that I saw as protecting the board from any criticism. Now that we have this document in our records,
do we get a report? What was the report? I didn't see anything.
Well, I can sure share the report with you.
I didn't hear.
Yeah, we'd be happy to provide a copy of that to the commissioner.
I apologize. My phone broke up there. Did we get something and I just missed it, or did I not get it?
We had not sent that out to the commissioners. We're happy to do that.
Oh, because Doug mentioned something. I wasn't sure if he had already seen it.
Okay, that's good.
All right, then that brings us to the end of our agenda for this meeting, so I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Matt, I'll second it.
All right. All in favor, goodbye.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks.